you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies one minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from AlexRobinson.fun.
And I'm Ralph from Food Network's Buddy vs. Duff. And I'm so excited to be talking about The Mandalorian with you guys. How cool is it that there is a Star Wars TV show?
Did you send Ralph the right 2 minutes?
I figured this would be more fun.
Today we're not talking, but we'll get to the Mandalorian too. I want to get back to that at some point too. But today we're talking about minute 52 of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. 52 starts with Rey saying that that place was trying to show me something. Show me something. Dang. And it ends with an escape pod or some other kind of small ship racing away to somewhere exciting. I can only assume it's going to be going to some wild, fun new planet.
This movie has got the same problem that The Empire Strikes Back has. With like weird time dilation where somebody is learning from a wise master and it seems to take quite a long time. And then other people are like, well, lunch is done. Oh, we got to go. Yeah. You're like, it's...
Long time.
Their other thing is like a day.
Yeah. Force training luckily can happen in a very dense area. Maybe when you're near a force hole, it gets distorted and you learn things quicker.
Why not? You know, that's the fact that you can learn the force so fast is why they take people as children and hang on to them in a temple for decades before they let them be a master.
Right. Yeah. That's they spend, 10 years learning time dilation and then they study for their home. It's like the end of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where it's just like, oh, we have to, finish our thing, and then, oh, right.
Alex, you're spoiling it for Alex.
Alex hasn't seen it.
You haven't seen any of the, is that a bit, or have you not seen the Bill and Ted?
I've never seen any of the Bill and Ted trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. The first one is excellent. Super charming.
The second one is bogus.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, wow. Thanks. You pair of jerks.
I'm worried I missed my window. Like if I'd seen it when I was 20 years old.
That's possible.
I would have loved it, but well then again, I was a snooty 20-year-old.
It's got time travel and history.
And George Carlin,
probably
right?
Like it. And George
Carlin. It's also it's weirdly earnest. Like it's a good natured kind of dopey movie.
Yeah. Never really pretends to be something that it's not.
Right. Yeah, I'd like more things like that. Everything's so arch nowadays. And today's music and kids playing on my lawn. I just realized how old I was starting to sound. But it's no coincidence that we
all love Hermit Luke because we're all closer to that than the young idealistic Luke Skywalker.
In my defense, though, it is very fashionable for things now to it might be going out of fashion a little bit, but like for the last 10 years, like for everything to be very self-aware and a little arch was like de rigueur in big pop entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I like it when stuff is earnest and a little dopey, like Paddington 2.
Mm.
good heavens, that movie is excellent.
It is.
But is it The Empire Strikes Back of the Paddington franchise?
In no way.
I think I think it's more like The Godfather 2 of the Paddington franchise.
Wrong show.
It's the opposite of The Lost World of the Paddington franchise.
Okay.
It's The Found Moon of the Paddington franchise.
Pete.
So, speaking of old cranky man Luke.
Yes.
Let's talk about him. Ray is talking to him and it sounds like she's kind of like really subtly dissing him right here. Cause she's like, he's like, whoa, what's going on? You went straight to the dark. And he was like, that place, it showed me something. Oh no, Luke was like, oh, it showed you something you needed. And she's like, yeah, I didn't see you. So it's like, I don't need you. Like, you know, like, hey, yeah, it showed you everything you need. It's like, oh, yeah, I didn't see you there, loser.
That's pretty funny. I didn't. Yeah. When you started that, I was like, well, I didn't read it that way at all. And then I realized you were doing a joke.
Hmm.
I get jokes.
it is a weird. I like that Luke is so like, you didn't even try to stop yourself from going to the dark side. Like.
Right.
I don't know. To me, that seems like a kind of like that's the teacher's responsibility to say, listen, OK, you might be tempted by the dark side, but like he's immediately blaming her for all the his poor education choices.
Well, Luke is a whiner.
Yeah, and she found out about the dark side like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It's like, listen,
my whole life, all I knew was cleaning sand out of military surplus. Right. Give me a break.
You think they would bond over that?
Plus. Not to make this the rag on Luke minute,
but do it.
Like also like, you know, so like this Yoda should show up now and be like, Skywalker, like, can I show you something? And like put on the video of Luke, like bringing his gun into the magic cave and immediately just like, you know,
yeah.
Lightsabering his father, like, you know, like totally like attacking first and doing that. Like that, like, Luke failed harder. I think Rey was just like, whoa, like I started to go towards the dark side and I backed off. Whereas Luke was just kind of like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
I think it's one of those things where he's just retroactively, like if you asked him, when did you bring your tree? He's like, no, I wouldn't have brought my weapons into the magic tree. You know, he I'm sure he totally is rewriting, you know, history and, you know, he's Obi-Wanning himself of trying to make himself look like he's the victim in the story as opposed to, you know, dropping the ball.
Yoda told him, is like, hey, man, there's nothing in that cave, so you really don't need a gun. And Luke was like, yeah, we'll see who doesn't need a gun in a cave.
Well, I was very intrigued by Luke saying it was offering you something you needed. The dark, the force hole.
The seaweed hole.
Does that also apply to the magic tree? Did Luke need to see Darth Vader in that tree? Was it basically tapping into what he needed and offering it to him?
Well, it's interesting that Luke is saying what you needed and not what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, is that, I think it was, I think because Luke,
did he say needed and not wanted?
He said it offered you something you needed,
right?
Yowza.
Not you, Luke. but it's not like, I think he did. He needed to, you know, Luke in the same boat. Luke always wanted to know about his father. His father was what he needed. You know what I mean? Like he was, and
even though at that point he didn't know, when he saw Darth Vader in the magic tree, he didn't say, oh, there's my father.
So later he was like, oh, the magic tree was showing me something that I needed. And so I think it's the same, you know, call to Rey. Cause as we later know, Rey will have a similar experience of going in kind of seeking, you know, who am I?
Mm-hmm. And we also later learn, of course, that the dark side hole is lying to her by saying that she's nobody because she's actually the offspring of Palpatine. So
maybe
it is an evil force hole. You really should take everything it says with a grain of space salt.
I would take the word of the evil force hole before I would take the word of Emperor Palpatine.
Wow.
Although,
you know, it never occurred to me, and it should have, that Palpatine could have just been lying to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to choose to believe that.
We're going to have to watch that in the third one and see if it's possible. So that means there have to be an 11th one, or episode 10, where we find out she actually is the offspring of no one, and then it just keeps going back and forth.
Well, here's what happens in episode 10. is Marie Skywalker shows up and it's just like, the hell's going on over here? You guys wrecked the place while I was gone. Where's my daughter? And then boom, we find out.
Yeah. That should have been the closing, the post credits sting in Rise of Skywalker.
So, guys, I'm back. What did I miss? Oh. Yeah.
We'll talk about that in 2 years. I think Mark Hamill does some good acting in this one. I think he does a good job of, and especially knowing that he didn't agree with the choice of Hermit Luke, I think he does a pretty good job of selling it, even though, you know, he disagreed with the choice.
Well, he's great in this. And also, I got to stick up for that choice again in this movie because, like, J.J. Abrams wrote them into that situation, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, without a thought, he was just like, yeah, Luke's been gone for 20 years. And then that leaves the next person to go, okay, well, why would our idealistic hero hide from the galaxy for 20 years? Something really bad must have happened. Mm-hmm.
To be fair, my understanding is that came from George Lucas beforehand, that he was like, he said Luke is like a Colonel Kurtz kind of character where he's off in hiding somewhere after something bad happened.
Okay, but George Lucas is a bad writer. We know that. Alex does not agree.
I don't know. I think it's very tempting to slam George Lucas for a lot of stuff, but literally we would not be here if he had not I don't know.
But
how
much of that comes from his collaborators, we don't know. But Lucas is judgy and then he starts to and he's scared and frightened. Not only is he scared that Rey went straight to the dark side, but also that she seems to know she's on to his gimmick of, hey, I disconnected from the Force. And she's also has to be powerful in order to have kind of jumped straight to this, you know, and then he's like, I've seen this kind of raw power only once before.
And which I do think kind of excuses his like, you just went straight to, you know, like the reaction he has, like that's out of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also he's a loser, but it's that's old Wormy Skywalker.
Mm. Master Wormy.
Master Wormy. It's hard to say Wormy and not sound like Kermit the Frog. Wormy.
Wormy. Although you can say it like Miss Piggy, just saying Kermy. You're like, oh, Wormy. I can't even do a good Piggy.
No, that was eerie. It was like Piggy was still alive and with us.
Aww.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How do you think Luke cuts himself off from the Force? Is it like a reverse meditation? Is it
like we joked about this like a week or two ago that he had to relearn what he had unlearned.
Uh-huh.
He had to hold on. He had to I don't know.
He had to listen to, listen to his conscious self, ignore his instincts.
Right.
He had to feel, not think. Reaching out with your feelings.
Or opposite. He had to think, not feel.
Right.
Pushing in with your analytical brain.
Right.
Alex, this is the second time that you've really just stopped me dead in my tracks.
Oh,
because it never occurred to me to think how he closed himself off from the forest. I was just like, oh yeah, magic. He did that magic.
Yeah, I just don't. Is it like the Hulk where he's I don't know if he is it like the Hulk? Is it like Bruce Banner where he's always in contact with the Force and the only times he's not is when he's consciously holding it down? Or is it vice versa where, you know,
where he switches places, switches bodies with his father?
Yes, exactly.
I think it's more like the, you know, he had to work to cut it off and then has to work to get it back. Cause then later we see him, you know, he doesn't immediately do it. It takes some effort for him to kind of get back in touch with it.
So it's like it's like exercising. He hasn't worked out in a while. He's all flat, soft and flabby and
a little bit.
And like that. Dude, do you even lift? Do you even force lift?
I don't know. I got to tell you something. Recording these sessions is exposing, one of my bad habit, I guess it's not a bad habit, but like whenever I'm recording something, I'm always just fiddling with like toys and stuff just to
give your hands something to do.
Yeah. But I can't do that when we're recording because then it's obvious that I'm just looking down and not at the conversation.
No, you can pretend it's your comfortable.
No, I gotta stay engaged. Here I am. Yeah. Look at this.
You
get all of this face right here. Not the people who are listening in podcast form. Those are the smart ones. Those are the people who will be referred to as the survivors from here on out.
I can fiddle with the stuff on my desk, and it's Mark Hamill. There you go. It's germane to the minute.
Mine is also germane to the minute. It's a Homer Simpson Buddha. There you go.
Now I just wish we were all together playing with our guys.
So Luke has cut himself off from the Force, which merely makes me wonder what he saw when Rey got soaked with water. Did he just see Rey sitting on the ground, like flopping around and like right.
It's like watching somebody do VR.
Yeah.
It's even funnier because it wouldn't have that John Williams soundtrack to it. Yeah. It would be just Luke sitting there listening to like the waves and porgs watching Rey go.
Right.
Yeah.
Like lying on the ground. Like, yeah, the violence and peace and death, and he's like,
yeah. He's like, she's like having a drug trip, and he's like the chaperone, just there to make sure she doesn't throw herself off the cliff or anything.
Just remember, you're a living being on this planet.
If she did throw herself off the cliff in her forced induced mania, could Luke get back in touch with the Force quick enough to pick her up?
Oh, he would have just gone to bed.
You just watch him like,
all right, dodge the bullet on that one and gone back to bed.
It's all the corpses of all the people who came to him for training over the years right. Late.
Beach. He takes them all out onto that really narrow precipice to be like, okay, lesson one.
Do you think they all brought him one of his knickknacks too? Like, he's just got all of his old stuff. They're like, I got your toy T-16 Skyhopper, sir. You're like, I'm not throwing that. That's awesome.
You know how much this goes for on space eBay? I do like that idea because they're like Horcruxes almost. So it's like, oh, you can put them all together, like all these little things from his
Horcruxes.
Yeah,
wormy.
Somebody brings the Gilligan hat and goggles.
Treadwell droid.
Treadwell shows up.
Dude, I want a movie that's just the kind of losery characters from the background of Star Wars. Like, let's get a Reese and Treadwell movie.
Reese, I bet they'll show up in The Mandalorian.
The biggest loser in all of Star Wars. I don't know what it is about that character. I look at him and like, that is just like a sad four flusher. That guy has never had anything go right in his entire existence.
Did he what? Did he die on the sail barge? Was he was on the sail barge when it blew up, right?
He could have. Honestly, even if he wasn't on the sail barge, he would have died from something unrelated that same day in the safety of the palace because he was a loser with wieners for eyes.
I hope we see him in the Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett forthcoming.
Dude, I cannot tell you how many people I want to see in the Book of Boba Fett. Like, top of the list, I want to see grizzled old Bosk.
I wonder, like, how long do Bosks live?
I don't know. If they're like Earth reptiles, forever.
Yeah.
But also, like space, who knows?
Yeah.
I do like the idea of him looking like an old pet. Like, he's like, you know, Bosk is like, it's good, like, lost. His skin is kind of grayish and it's like flaking.
Yeah.
And he's got like one kind of completely clouded over eye and he just keeps like licking. And he's like,
big, like, waddly neck.
Yeah.
Like a real lapty neck.
Well, one thing I really like is, and it's not this minute, but apparently Dengar shows up in this film. It's implied that it's Dengar.
Get out of here.
Yeah, there's a, if you look in, it might be in Rise of Skywalker. If you look in the Rise of Skywalker visual dictionary, there's one character. And
His
name is Dengar, kind of scrambled up, and he's like more cyborgy.
Yeah, it's really upsetting if that is him. I don't care for that.
That's one aspect of Rise of Skywalker. I will say thumbs up to that.
Isn't that in the John Williams scene, too?
I'll tell you what, though.
We got 2 years to look at it.
I have the Rise of Skywalker visual dictionary or the guide or whatever, you know, that book. Mm-hmm. But my Lando Calrissian page is signed by Billy Dee Williams from when we did the finale of Buddy versus Duff season 2 in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And he was the like guest host of that episode.
Had you met him previously?
I had not.
Were you like, oh my God, that's Lando.
Yeah, he is very old. Mm-hmm. So good for him.
Yeah.
But also he cracked me up because he came out and he was looking at like our two, you know, the finale of the thing, Duff's team and our team. And we had both made big Star Wars themed cakes and Duff's team did the X-Wing in the swamp with Yoda. And we had the Millennium Falcon in like a docking bay with Porgs and Babu Frick.
Nice.
Billy Dee comes out, you know, and he's looking at the two cakes. He's like, magnificent. And he goes over to, he's talking to Buddy and he's like, I have to tell you, what you and your team do is art. You people are true artists. I've seen the show before and the things you make are magnificent. And he looks over at Duff and he goes, now this other guy, I don't know him.
Wow. That's cool.
Nice.
That's a great Billy Dee story.
Yeah, you know, like, nice. Throw in some shade. good minute of the movie this is.
Speaking, as I did briefly, of the John Williams cameo, and speaking of what we were talking about yesterday a little bit with including other people's music in things, when Luke says, I've seen this kind of raw power only once before, they, of course, play the Raw Power by Iggy Pop and the Stooges. No, they play...
I didn't catch that. That's cool.
They play the little Kylo Ren music really subtly in the background. And when he's like, only once before in Ben Solo. And it's like... Bah, 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 bah. It's like a little sad, like... they should have done it totally with a wah-wah trumpet, like... Wah, 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 wah. Like... Wah.
There's a lot of very Muppety energy to this conversation today. I just want to point that out.
It's a Muppety minute. On our side, not in the movie itself. On screen, you wouldn't know it. But
no. I'd be listening to that podcast, tell you what.
I tried to get Tony Thaxton to do a Muppet Show podcast. Go through every episode of the Muppet Show, and he said
not with you. You just wanted him to do it. You're like, can you? I want to hear it. Can you just do that for me?
Either way, but he said he's already doing too many podcasts, so someone else will have to do it. We're about to jump to a different part of the story. Do you have anything else you want to say about Luke and Rey here, or do we should start talking about the?
No, I really think the Luke and Rey stuff is very powerful. It really speaks to me.
It's not as the Lieutenant Connix stuff is not as compelling. I agree.
Kittle Connix quite compelling.
I do like her uniform. I like the prominence of the rebel insignia on her uniform. I wonder why the rebels don't all wear uniforms. Period. I guess because they're rebels.
It's really not uniform if they're not all wearing it, is it?
Yeah. It's like, as long as you have that symbol on it, you can get away with it. But
they're headed towards the danger zone because they're getting too much into their symbols and insignia. That's you notice that the resistance is using that, like it keeps getting bigger and bigger. They're more into it, and even later, by the end of this movie, we'll see. You know, Rose just showing it to somebody indicates that that's the side that they're on, where it was more of like a kind of a an unofficial insignia or something for at least in Star Wars. Then it kind of grew more official as it goes. But they're headed for just like the Jedi Order. You know, they're getting too into themselves, and there's going to be a whole thing.
I got badly distracted because we cut to like handsome Oscar Isaacs.
Mm-hmm.
He's so handsome. And why does he always look wet? He always looks like someone has misted him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he glistens.
Maybe he just had his own experience with the seaweed cave.
He's just brimming with the juices of life.
In are you talking about Poe Dameron, or are you talking about Oscar Isaacs in everything?
I don't know if I've noticed him so wet in other things, but he is just sopping in these Star Wars movies. He's always wet.
Uh-huh. Maybe he's from a cold planet, and so being out in
sweaty all the time.
Yeah, anytime he goes to normal planets, he's like, "Woo, boy, is it steamy in here? Is it me?" And they're like,
"If we don't know where he's from, I'm saying he's also from Stewjon, the planet that Obi-Wan is from, that was named on the Daily Show."
Right.
Oh, Stewjon. Do they anyway? I was gonna start talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi, but not appearing in this film.
Right.
But we could. We couldn't talk about him.
So we see the ship leave the Raddus. We see them escape in their little ship, and they immediately jump to light speed out of the thing.
I keep forgetting that it's named the Raddus, and I love that.
It is good.
Yeah,
I like that they have that connection.
Yeah, because I like Raddus. I'm just an easy target for like Mon Cal military officers.
Uh-huh.
I love them.
Did you have any, it happened a couple of minutes ago, did you have any strong feelings about the death of Admiral Gaius Akbar?
His first name's Gaius?
I don't know. I was just saying. No, Gil Akbar.
Gil Akbar. Old Gil.
It's that.
It's a shame that it can't be given the weight that it should, because the movie needs to keep moving, and this is a movie that is packed with stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like if you're not going to make a moment of it, don't do it.
So they should have saved him for Rise
of Skywalker. Or just he's kind of only in the movie, he's kind of only in The Force Awakens for people to go, "Oh, I know him."
Yeah, that's kind of like that's the whole reason the Force Awakens exists. Everyone goes,
"Yes, everything in that movie."
It's like previously on Star Wars.
That movie.
Yeah,
I've been handed an update about Mr. Poe Dameron.
Yes,
Poe Dameron was born on Yavin 4.
Oh, wow! What really?
Yes, he was the son of
Native Yavinian.
Two enlisted rebels.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Ben Dameron and Jin Dameron.
Two ABY. Sharabay.
Two ABY?
Two ABY.
He was on, they were still on Yavin 2 years after the battle? What were they doing there? Why weren't they off with the rebels?
I know what they were doing about 9 months before 2 ABY.
Clap.
Did they
pull a Biggs lighter and a Biggs dark lighter and jump out of the rebels to just kind of, did they go native on Yavin 4?
I don't know.
It looks like they were in a movie
explaining this.
And then he rarely saw his parents due to the Alliance's continued operations against the Imperials.
You didn't see them, like they had continued operations. They were always like, they were out on maneuvers.
Sorry, kid. No attachments. You stay here in Yavin 4. We're going to go fight with the rebels.
All of this is is this from the comic? Because speaking of everything that we were just talking about, six months after the Battle of Endor, after the Imperial Remnant put forward Operation Cinder, Poe Dameron's parents left Rebel service to reunite with him, settle on Yavin 4, and build a house in a colony, close to which they planted a Force-sensitive tree, a gift from Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker.
And they dug a scary hole.
Yeah. How do you know a tree is Force-sensitive?
Maybe it was one of those Ithorian trees. It was a Baphor tree.
The more that it gets built up, the more the Force is like, you know, crystals and auras and stuff. We're going to come all the way back around to the Force doesn't exist by the time we're done with this. Like, see,
I love the idea that there's no Force and Obi-Wan is just drunk in that first movie.
Is the tree in the is the secret Jedi text kept in a Force sensitive tree?
You mean the Marty Jannetty tree?
Yeah. Was it sensitive with the Force before they hollowed it out to put books in it?
Yeah, because I think aren't the books made out of that tree or something like that?
Oh, I don't like that, by the way.
Which part?
I don't.
The tree or?
The tree, the rock. I don't like the paper books.
Yeah.
Don't care for it.
You think they should have had a Jedi Kindle?
I think so. Listen, man, we know that like in all the old Republic nonsense, like they still have R2 units. They just have little wheels instead of like zhoof feet. And you're going to tell me that when technology has been basically at this same level for 1,000 generations, but those books are paper and they're that old that the paper survived? Like you go back thousands of years and there's still electronic books in this universe. Mm-hmm. So this is what, 20,000 year old paper book?
But it's Force sensitive paper, so it's archival.
I don't care for that answer. I would like you to take this more seriously. This is important stuff. Otherwise, what are we doing here, Peter?
Yeah, I just had to close the page that I looked at. When I clicked on Force Sensitive
Tree. The paper
tree,
book page, you just...
No, the digital page. I had to close that page on Wikipedia for the Force Sensitive Tree because it led to a whole like thing about the Great Tree,
was it a dark side hole?
It was a dark side.
Also, the first person we see die in the movie, Paige.
Oh, look at that. This is about how people don't read anymore, this whole movie.
Yeah, that's
the death of print.
My fiance was very excited that there was a character in a Star Wars movie that had her name. She has... exactly one Star Wars action figure, and it's a page in the package in her little makeup room.
Nice.
And was she like thrilled? Was she like, yeah, Paige? And then Paige blew up like 3 minutes into the movie, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, look, listen, there's never going to be a Ralph in a Star Wars movie. I'm never going to have the Ralph action figure from Star Wars.
Maybe.
That's a tough one.
I don't know. Yeah. You're not, nobody's canonized you yet. Surely
you must be canonized by now.
I am not. It's a sore spot. We talked about this on that weekend episode last time I was here. Somebody put my name in Star Wars.
Yeah.
You met Lando,
for crying out loud.
I did meet Lando. I don't think I'm canonically a part of the MCU anymore.
Oh, did they go back and edit that out?
I don't think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is canon anymore.
I think it is. I don't know.
Let's say it's canon unless disproven.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so. Just for people who have no idea what I'm talking about, there's in the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they make a reference to somebody watching a Cake Boss marathon, and I was on Cake Boss when that episode came out, so...
Therefore... You exist in the MCU.
I exist in the MCU. But not Star Wars.
Not yet.
Right.
I hope is still canon? Vilmar Grark.
Who's that?
He was a Deveronian like bounty hunter with a funny accent who was in the comics. Uh-huh. He was Villy.
Huh.
Nothing in the old Dark Horse Star Wars comics. He would show up and he had a funny accent and would occasionally say bark. He wouldn't bark. He would say the word bark.
Was it supposed to be him literally saying bark, or was it like Chewbacca where they're just kind of trying to approximate what it sounded like?
I don't know. It always had an exclamation point after it. I always assumed he was just saying bark.
Picture being like Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. He's like, bark every now and then.
Oh, I see. He's a red guy, too.
Yeah, I really liked him. He was
Red Devronian.
He was fun. He was kind of, he filled a similar space in my mind that Death's Head does in the Marvel comics.
Hmm. Okay. Hmm.
That's all. I like both of those characters. They both have horns and funny accents.
Apparently, he's in Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds, the game.
Oh.
Is that a new game or an old game?
I think it's semi-recent.
Is that still canon?
And what?
Is it still canon?
Galactic Battleground. Oh, no. 2001, real-time strategy game.
Yeah, that's around the time that he was in the comics and stuff, too. Right. Oh, man. Speaking of games, have you guys played the VR Tales from Galaxy's Edge game?
I started the Galaxy's Edge one. We each played the first chapter or two of the Darth Vader Unleashed VR one, but I started the Galaxy's Edge one and then I got distracted, but I should go back and do more in it because it seems fun.
The Vader one is very like linear, like you have to just go through the story. The Galaxy's Edge one is a little more open,
sandboxy,
and it's a little more gun shooting. It's fun.
Okay.
I like it.
Hmm.
What were we talking about? Star Wars Poe Dameron. He's soaking wet.
52.
So,
52.
Yeah.
Passing debris.
Beautiful man.
Passing debris.
Passing debris. That's what you do at a wine and cheese party.
That's right.
A
mouthful of tea, I would have beat you to that joke.
I should have Karnak'd that. Yeah, they're looking like we have to have this little scene in of I mean, not that we have to. I don't know. It's interesting. It's slightly superfluous, but I'm not complaining about it. But it's like, you know, a little blip and Holdo being like, what was that? And then Kato Kokonix being like, nothing, just passing debris. And like you know, giving a wink and a thumbs up to Poe, who's just like hiding behind a shelf or something. And he's like, they're looking extra sneaky, suspicious.
See, this is why this is what I don't like about the Holdo storyline.
Okay.
Okay, Poe has to learn to trust authority and do what he's told. So does Konix also? Konix is participating in this cover-up in conspiracy. How come she doesn't get in trouble? Or how come she doesn't...
She's taking orders from Poe.
Because Poe is the senior officer on the ship who should be told, like, what's going on?
Not anymore. He doesn't need to know in this in this scenario.
I don't
because
it also implies that Konix is like, well, I don't know who this lady is either, so I'm also going to go along with the conspiracy. Whereas she should be like, Poe, why are you, you know, this is the vice that, like, I don't know.
I have to agree with Alex. It's also a conflict that, like, isn't satisfying narratively.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't care for it. There's as I said last episode, there's a lot about this movie that frustrates me.
I don't think characters in a Star Wars movie should learn to do less fighting. That's the thing. Unless it's like, hey, I'm not going to fight because of it'll turn me to the dark side kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Right. But an X-Wing pilot should not be punished for being a good X-Wing pilot. Anyway.
Yeah, wars is one of the two words in Star Wars. Like, you have fighting. Yeah.
And he's the star.
Hmm.
That's all I got for minute 52.
Yeah, that is also all I have for this minute.
Yeah. We can bring it to tomorrow. Ralph, can you come back tomorrow?
I can. I don't have a bit
will
for
you?
This. Right. I can and I will.
Okay.
I can kick con conics kick. Kid a key cack.
Can Kato Kokonix continue? Hey, you know what we got? Look at Alex's shirt there. Not that one. That one's not available anymore. But we have other designs like that that are available at StarWarsMinute.com/merch, MERCH. And that gets you to our T-shirt designs. We've put up a couple from this season so far, like the Porgo Loco one from Joe Dater and the Rose Tico Tay's crazy shirt, which came from our week with the George Lucas talk show guys. So
Kitster.
Kitster, which brought about by just nothing, a stupid idea that I had, and
that tastes
why we're here.
So go check it out. I'm sure you'll find something you like in t-shirt form, mug form, tapestry, pillow, notebook. So go check it out. See what you want. Buy something. And we'll meet you back here tomorrow for a brand new Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
Yes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.